My name is Mark Bates, and I am not a Strawbridge, and I always wanted to be, though, and just because the love that I always saw the family. I first met Ted when we were in seminary. Actually, before I tell you this, one funny thing that happened 2 weeks ago. We were visiting with Ted and Mary Lou up in Lookout Mountain, and we were talking. For some reason, Ted got off, as Ted can do, on a woman who was upset at a funeral. And she was like, she was crying, and everything goes, I don't know why she's crying. I mean, you know everybody's going to die, right? You shouldn't be surprised that they're dead. Why are you so upset? So here's what Ted would be saying to all of you. What's wrong with you people, right? You know, you knew he was going to die. In fact, we're kind of shocked he lived this long in so many ways, right? But I first met Ted when I was in seminary 33 years ago, and I was painting their apartment, and Mary Lou comes in, sees me painting there, and thought, isn't it nice that they let high school boys work here? I was 25, and getting married in 2 weeks, and that began my journey of being emasculated by Strawbridges. And so, but Ted, Ted's just great about accepting people as friends. The Proverbs, it says, a man may have many companions, and he still may fail, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I know we often just rush to Jesus with that verse, but before you rush to Jesus, I think you rush to your human friends that you have around us, and it really is true, because I'm not one of many friends, but Ted certainly was an incredible friend. And it started in seminary. What happened was, in seminary, all the guys who are married, we get together to play basketball, and I'm the least athletic guy on the RTS campus. Now, if you know preachers, you know that is a very strong statement, but I really was. And so Ted, I want you to play. Ted said, come on, come play with us. So, I go and I play, and ends up at the, we have the RTS championship basketball tournament, and for some reason, Ted and I are on opposite teams. And someone's bringing the ball down on my team, and Ted, I don't know why, is covering the guy bringing the ball down court, and I set a pick, and Ted runs over me, and he fouls out of the game, and he starts yelling, who sets a pick at half court? He's repeated that story every year. This summer, we're meeting somebody at General Assembly, and he's telling somebody this story, who sets a pick at half court? And I'm thinking, why is Ted covering the guy bringing the ball down? That made no sense. But later on, we ended up planting a church in Orlando, and after we'd been going for a year or so, Ted calls up and he says, listen, if Bates can plant a church, I know I can. And that's how he came to Ocala. And so I, thank you. You're welcome, those of you here, for that, because Ted was convinced if I could do it, he was certain he could, and he did a phenomenal job. We walked through the journey of planting churches together. We're on a phone a lot. We talked a lot. I would create materials for our church to use, like new members class materials, officer training materials. Ted would take my materials, and he would change the name where it said University Presbyterian Church and put in Good Shepherd. The problem was he didn't do it through the whole notebook. So you'd open up your notebook and be the membership class for Good Shepherd. And he'd say, we here at University Presbyterian. He didn't even bother. But the worst of all, Richard, was one time I made a summary of your video on baptism. And it was Richard Pratt. It's a great content video if you like watching robots speak. But the content is good. And so I took the video and I summarized his argument about infant baptism in just a couple of pages, and I put it in my notebook, and I put in a footnote. When Ted copied it, there was no footnote. Richard is up here. For some reason, he's in his office. He's thumbing through this, and he goes, this is my material. And he goes, oh, I got that from Mark. I mean, just threw me under the bus. No explanation at all. But we had a lot of fun church planting, and just I thought of this when, Timo, you're asking Mary Lou how long, 38 years you all were married. I remember when you'd been married 10, and the reason was we're at a church planters, pastors, and wives gathering, and Ted and Mary Lou walked in late, shockingly, and we're all going around saying how long we've been married and all this, they walk in, they ask Ted, how long have you been married? And he says, 10 years, but it just seems like a day, right, Mary? And she goes, yeah, a long day. And we use that line all the time. We have so many Strawbridge quotes in our house. It's Ted was impossible to embarrass. I'm very easily embarrassed. We are opposites in that way, and he would always do these things that I would just sit back and laugh and be embarrassed and laugh. But I did see Ted get embarrassed one time. There's only one time in 33 years, and that was one time we were actually going up to Chattanooga. We'd taken our kids to camp, and we're going to go up to the lake house. Not their lake house. They didn't have one at that time, but... And so I had to go down and see my dad in the hospital in Atlanta, and I met them up there, and we met at a gas station. Ted fills up his F-350 with gas, and so the problem was it was a diesel truck, and got about a mile down the road, and things ka-chung, 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 and they had to actually tow it to the Ford station in Dayton. Dayton, Tennessee, and then and all the guys in the service department said, "So what happened?" Because I put gas in my diesel truck. And they're all trying not to laugh, and they all are kind of laughing. And Ted, the only time I've ever seen him turn red, only time he was ever embarrassed, I'm thinking, wait a second. You said the most profane things from the pulpit. You've given your congregation the finger before, true story. You have made sexual innuendos, and you're embarrassed about gas? But that's the only time that I saw him embarrassed. Ted was a dear friend, and I stink at friendships. Ted is a master, and part of it, he would just call you up, no particular reason, and sometimes he always wanted you to join in whatever he is doing, and it made no sense what he was doing, but you'd want to be a part of it because Ted was there, and we both had a passion for church planting, and one time, I don't know if you've ever gotten an email from Ted, they make no sense. And he would send out group emails to people he did not know, and I'd get people calling, who's this Ted guy, and what's he talking about? Well, one time, many years ago, he sent out an email to, I believe, just about everybody in the PCA. I remember there's like Tim Keller on there, the head of Covenant Seminary, head of Mission North America. Everybody is on there, and Ted says something that it literally offends everybody on the email. But the worst part was he sent it from Ted and from me. And so I send an email back, reply all, and I simply said, I do not know Ted Strawbridge. I don't know what he's talking about. I have no idea. Ted sends out a follow-up email that is even worse than the first. I'm not kidding. It draws me into it again. So finally I go, I'm not sending an email this time. I call up Ted, and I said, Ted, you can't do this. This is offensive. This is, And he sends a third email. But this email was the... Not a Strawbridge, sorry. It was beautiful. It was humble. It was repentant. It was God-honoring. And what he apologized for the most was not that he offended them, but that he offended me. And he apologized to them. He said, I would do anything not to offend my brother Mark, who's a dear friend to me. I know he didn't give a rip what anybody else thought. He cared about me. And that's what made Ted so special. You knew he loved you. He knew he cared about you. He would do things, yes, that would infuriate you, that would embarrass you. He also would be that friend who'd tell you things another friend would. He'd speak the truth to you. He didn't hold back at all. And he'd challenge you to live differently. Ted and I were on a theological journey after seminary. And, you learn all this stuff in seminary, but seminary is like an introduction to every topic. And so you don't get to learn everything there. You learn a lot of it later on. And so we went through a journey of learning what grace is all about with the gospel. It was life-changing for each of us. And then the kingdom. I know Richard had taught about the kingdom, and I'm sure we heard it in seminary, but for some reason, a few years in, it began to click. And it changed how Ted viewed ministry. So when Ted would talk to other pastors, he really did not give a rip how big your church was, how big your budget, how big your staff. He wanted to know, is your church doing anything? And the reason he got passionate about church planting and moved to Tennessee to be involved in church planting, it wasn't that Ted wanted to start more churches. He really didn't care about that. That was not his passion. He wanted to start churches that were making a kingdom impact. Are they making the kingdom of God believable in their community? Are they touching the lives of the poor, the broken, the downtrodden? Are they making a tangible difference? And if churches that were just doing a church, he called it, you know, those who are just doing church, he called it the show. He literally called Sunday morning worship the show. I don't think he meant that completely. I don't think. But what he meant was, are they doing anything? Are they showing the reality of the kingdom in their community? And that's why he went to Tennessee to be involved in planting churches. He wanted to see that happen. And then he joined M&A. I know a lot of it was his friendship with you, Paul, obviously. But it was like a shared passion. See, churches planted for the kingdom. So I thought it was so exciting when the family said, instead of flowers, give gifts to mission in North America. Because I thought, what would Ted want? Was what he was doing. It's exactly what he'd want. And I thought, what would be an amazing thing where Ted was supposed to be raising funds at M&A. I don't think he got very far along. But what if people gave now? And the Ted Strawbridge Memorial Fund ended up starting kingdom impacting churches around the country. I just think that would be incredible gift in his life. Ted showed me the reality of the gospel, because in that verse where it does say a man with many companions may fail, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I believe the reality of that verse about Christ, because I've seen the reality of that in Ted's life. He understood what it meant to love, and he understood what it meant to be a friend. Thank you.
Those of us who were invited to be a part of this ceremony were asked to meet this morning at 8:30 in the band room, and Michael said that it was the desire of the family that this ceremony take up about an hour. And when I saw who all was on the docket, and Timo was first, I was like, poor Mary Lou, she never quite gets what she wants. I also noticed that Timo left out part of his speech, that how proud Ted would be that we have sponsors for his... He would have wanted Pizza Hut to be a sponsor at his funeral. I also met Ted at seminary, and I was a kind of a pseudo basketball player. I met Ted on that court, and I'll never forget my first encounter with him when he was boxing out. He had such a huge, and I still have a mark from that. Later, I got to know him in missions classes that we took together and learned of his heart for the gospel, and he learned of mine. And then later, some years later, Mary Lou discovered my music, which Ted didn't even know that I did. But this was one of the songs that I assume he liked.
I believe in the love of God. It is an orphan's wildest dream. It is a narrow little road. It is an ever-widening desert stream. Oh, I will leave this road for the narrow. It is portrayed in the bread and wine. So let it fortify my bones. It is more than just a sign. It is the fountain from that desert stone. Oh, I will leave this road for the narrow. It is the place where the humble go. It is the narrow, not the broad. It is the pathway down the hill to the graveyard of the living God. Oh, I will leave this road for the narrow. The love of God is the hymn of hope. So let the needy join the throng. Let the widow hear and cope. Let the cripple bold rise to sing its song. Oh, I will leave this road for the narrow. Oh, I will leave this road for the narrow. Oh, I will leave this road for the narrow.
Good morning. It is still morning. Good morning. I'm Paul Hahn. I work with Mission in North America, co-worker with Ted there, and a friend of Ted's over 40 years. What Ted did for us all was to connect us with Jesus and connect us with Jesus' people. And one of the people he connected me with and so many of us with is Richard Pratt. Richard Pratt is the founder of Third Millennial Ministries, which brings theological education to the world for free. Richard, before that, taught us at RTS Orlando and RTS Jackson. We were all there in Jackson with him, with Mo, with Mark Bates, with Ted, with Fred Harrell, with others. Mark lied about one thing. Mark was not the worst basketball player at RTS Jackson. Richard Pratt was. Unquestionably. part of that problem was that he played in khakis in Oxford shoes when he started. The other part of it was that Ted was his teacher. But Richard was Ted's teacher. And really and truly, so much of what Ted gave so many of us comes in and through Jesus working through Richard. And so I want to connect you with Richard this morning to preach the gospel to us, the hope of the resurrection, the hope of the kingdom of God. Richard Pratt.
Hi, everyone. If you know about Presbyterian preachers, you know they preach for 45 minutes. You ready for that?
No.
Trust me, we're going to make it. It's going to be sweet and to the point. It's a great honor. At least I thought I was being honored until I was standing outside there with Mary Lou, and she said, "The best part of all this is I'm never going to have to go to sleep at night in the bed listening to sermons recorded by you." You said that. So I don't know what to do. I guess the best way to do is to have the last sermon she ever hears from me be sweet and to the point. If you're anything like me, this morning has been a roller coaster. Yep. An emotional roller coaster. Well, on the one side, you're sad that you've lost a friend, a pastor, father, an uncle, a husband. On the other side, you're thinking, wow, all these people up here are saying such wonderful things. I guess I'm supposed to be feeling good about all this, too. And it is a mixture. It is an up and down. It is a roller coaster because Ted was, by every measure, an extraordinary man. If you knew him at all, you knew that about him. But I'm here to tell you why he was so extraordinary and why he's able to have children and grandchildren, brothers, come up here and say the kinds of wonderful things that all of us dream of hearing our brothers and our children and our grandchildren say about us. Amen? Okay. It's because of a verse in the Bible that Ted lived to the best of his ability, and it was this. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. If there's a heartbeat of Ted Strawbridge that took him through his life, it would be that sense of the priority that he gave in his life to seeking first the kingdom of God. Now, all of us in here are in different places spiritually. Some here today have absolutely no interest in any of the religious things that have been said today. I understand that. I've been there too. Others of us are right tracking with Ted and his commitment to this thing called the kingdom of God. I understand that too. Some of us here today are wavering and wondering, how can my life be the kind of life that at a memorial service like this, people would say, I'm extraordinary too. And I get that also. So wherever you are, I want you to hear, at least as far as Ted Strawbridge is concerned, what it is that he set up as his top priority in life. It was seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be taken care of. We all are seeking after something, aren't we? And maybe today you're a person who's seeking to become rich, to become famous, to somehow survive this thing called life. Wherever you are, hear this word from Jesus. At the top of the list is to seek the kingdom of God. Now, I have a grandmother who talked about the kingdom of God all the time. Every time we, the grandchildren, would go into the kitchen and say, "Hey, Mama, can we have some more ice cream or another piece of pie?" She would always say, "Why, sure, when the kingdom comes." So I learned as a young child that that meant no, never, get out of here, you're bothering me. Well, that's about what this idea of the kingdom of God means to a lot of people. So let me just tell you what Jesus meant by it and what Ted embraced as his hope and his driving force throughout his entire life as a follower of Jesus. It was basically this, that Jesus came to make everything new. And he's not going to fail. And if you want a piece of that, come to him. Jesus came to make everything new, and he will not fail. And if you want a part of that, come to Jesus, and it will be yours. Now, we live in a day today when hope like that is few and far between, isn't it? We live in a day today where we all feel threatened by terrible things like worldwide war, economic disasters, pandemics that will wipe out half of the planet. Some of us are afraid of climate change going to destroy everything and cause us all to go up in a ball of fire. Whatever it is you're thinking about, you know as well as I do that that kind of hope, that one man who lived 2,000 years ago is going to make everything new, and that you can have a piece of that if you will come to him, you know that's a foreign idea in our culture today. The greatest hope, I think, that most of us live with day by day is that maybe it won't be that bad and we'll only have to live in zombie world. Well, if that's where you are today, I want to tell you some wonderful, wonderful good news. You do not have to live your life that way. That your greatest hope is maybe you'll be able to experience and survive the zombie apocalypse. Life is not hopeless. The world is not hopeless. Though there are threats at every turn, the reality is that Jesus of Nazareth came here to make all things new, and he will not fail. And you can have a part of that if you will come to him. Every time I do a funeral, and this is the first funeral I've ever done for a former student of mine. Every time I do a funeral, I always try to think, what did that person want me to say to the people to whom I'm speaking? And I can tell you with great confidence, having spent many, many days and hours with Ted, that that's what he wants you to take away from this time today. So if you do not know Christ, and you would like to know him, it is as simple as you right now in your seat, right now, saying, "I want to have the hope that Ted Strawbridge had. I want to believe in you, Jesus, and it will be yours." If you want to talk about that, there are many people here who are more than happy to talk with you about that, even today. Talk with me, if no one else. I'm happy to stay here all day, all night, talking with you about how you can have a piece of the world made new. Do you want that? Now, for those of you who are followers of Christ today, let me call on you. Renew your hope. Renew your strength. Because there is a world coming, and Jesus is going to bring it. And as the days have gone by, as the years have gone by, perhaps your eyes have been taken off that goal. And maybe you have become the kind of follower of Christ who has gone off the road. Maybe you're the kind of person that wonders, what should I be doing with my life? Where should I be putting my hope? How can I reorient myself? I'm so sick and tired of trying to simply survive my marriage, survive my children, survive my work. I'm tired of that kind of life. Follower of Jesus, this is the hope. The hope is Jesus of Nazareth came here to make all things new, and he will not fail. And if you want a part of that, follow him. Ted gave so much of his life. Mary Lou continues to give so much of her life to Jesus because they have that hope. If you feel hopeless in this world today, hear what Jesus says will bring you hope. Of all the things you could be concerned with, of all the things you could dream about, of all the things you could desire, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Amen.
I'm sorry. My name's Aaron Angstrom, and I also had the privilege of serving as a worship leader with Ted Strawbridge and the Good Shepherd family. This morning, as we take in everything that's been said, every laugh that we've shared, it seems fitting to stand and sing together, "All Glory Be to Christ." Let's do that together now.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn. All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. Above, who is Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ.
Mary Lou and the family invite all of us to join at the graveside service where Ted will be laid to rest, awaiting his resurrected body one day to match his resurrected soul where he is now with Jesus, face to face, seeing him and enjoying him because he has been made now fully like him. And that will be our hope in which we lay Ted to rest. You will exit out this direction, my right and your left, and head down the hall. Ushers will show you the way. It's about a 5-minute walk. If you can't do that, just not up to it physically or emotionally, if you'll hang out outside by the picnic tables while this room is reset for lunch, the family would love you to stay for lunch and a few more remembrances of Ted. Receive now the Lord's final good word to you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be merciful unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance toward you and give you peace now and forever. Go in the resurrection hope and love of Jesus. Amen.